click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
This time, the business of understanding the intersection of politics and economics. Last year, throughout the whole of 2025, you might recall, I beg your pardon, 2024. The year's gone by so quickly, I think 2025 is last year. Yeah, tells you how busy it's been. But nonetheless, 2024 is when we participated in our national elections in South Africa. What this culminated into was a record-breaking result and outcome that was precedent-setting, the establishment of a national government of national unity. But 1 year on, how has the GNU performed? What has their influence been on not only politics, the economics of the day, and just even social standing? To tell us more about this, we are joined on the line by Jason Swartz, Portfolio Manager at Old Mutual Investment Group. Jason, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Hi, Gugu. Good evening to you.
Thank you for your time tonight, Jason. A lot that we're going to get through, and I guess so many aspects that we are layer this conversation. First things first, I think it's very clear that there's always been an interlink and a symbiotic relationship between politics and economics. We see it on a global scale. We see it locally here in South Africa. And even when it comes down to the running and functioning of our municipalities. And maybe this is important for us to reflect on, especially in light of the fact that while over a year and a half ago, the GNU was essentially established in the country. Maybe let's just remind us of that intersection of politics and economics and how this has unfolded from a South African perspective regarding the GNU.
I think you can't disentangle how important politics is to the economic growth path of South Africa. I agree with you that before the GNU was established, you know, I think the prospects for economic growth was probably quite bleak. You know, we haven't really gotten to our 2% like economic growth yet, because, you know, I think the GNU still has a little bit of teething issues. But I think what is good is that there are signs that, you know, some of the long-term prospects are looking up. Some of the parties are starting to work together. There have been small wins. And, you know, this is really one of the kind of key issues that we need to deal with, is just like finding a way after all these decades of having a majority party in power. You know, how do they work together? How do they have kind of policies that they are aligned with? How do they stop or some of this bickering? And, you know, how do we look forward to I think jointly, you know, add jobs and drive economic growth in South Africa? So it's vitally important.
And that's the challenge, right? The bickering needs to stop, because there needs to be a united sense of direction, or at least clarity on the direction. And that then instills a level of confidence, and investment can certainly follow through. Do you believe that the back and forth and squabbles we've seen within the GNU, much of which has been evidenced during the most recent budget speech, perhaps have delayed positive economic consequences and outcomes in the country?
Actually, yes. I think some of that standoff was good, because it taught us some valuable lessons about coalition politics in South Africa that we hadn't learned before. I think it was hard lessons just for the ANC, in the sense that, you know, they've been the ruling party for so long and they can't really make unilateral decisions about policy, economic policy specifically. And all those learnings are kind of about being more inclusive, building a consensus around policy decisions, finding ways around consultation, you know, to avoid kind of the ugly standoff. I think for the DA as well, you know, particularly if you're going to criticize your partner publicly, you know, and I think people could also be, you know, you could also just say, you know, that's a red line in certain situations. But luckily, cooler heads prevailed. So in a certain perspective, you could say that, you know, that wasn't a great look from an optical perspective. But I think it was really good lessons just on compromise, on how parties with very different ideologies, you know, can come together and, you know, resolve some of these standing issues, even though there were like a number of iterations. I think the silver lining is that specifically for the budget, that there is this spirit of fiscal discipline in terms of the agreement to what happened with taxes and spending priorities. And I think it was great lessons, and something you typically learn in the early stages of a maturing democracy. So it was probably inevitable. And I think it was a great outcome in the end, if I had to be honest.
Got you. Very important outcome that has come through in the end. What also intrigues me, though, is that on the back of the GNU, as we, you know, reflect on just more than a year since its establishment, when it comes to key policies, especially when it comes to growth, Operation Vulindlela, as we've noted, when it comes to the national budget, yes, some robust debate, but at least it's led to positive outcomes in the end. Are we finding that there is a level of alignment, especially in terms of how we take the country going forward?
I think there is. You know, if you look at the manifestos before the elections last year, you would have seen that a lot of them were very different, but the big alignment was on jobs and growth. And the main lever for that is I suppose, reforms, structural reforms in the country. So, and I would say that, you know, there have been wins on that side. Obviously, Operation Vulindlela predated the GNU, that kind of sat in the president's office. But the GNU has been supportive of that. So if you look at some of the infrastructure initiatives that's rolled out, you know, I think that's been good. What's happened on the electricity side, we've kind of stabilized. Eskom, Kusile 6 has been kind of synchronized again. I think that's a win. Transport, there's kind of good things happening there. It is fairly slow. Barbara Kreese is doing a good job, I think, there. Also, Home Affairs, obviously, we've seen like the visa backlog has been kind of reduced, ID cards issued, etc. So all of these wins across different ministries, I think has been really good. I'm still a little bit disappointed in, you know, some of the more kind of political positioning and some of this public stuff that's happening. And, you know, I think for every South African, it's important to say, you know, should the GNU not just be focusing on some of the big reform items? So the restructuring of Eskom, the logistics corridor. So those are the big ticket items. Again, going back to the start of the conversation, you know, what's going to get us 2% growth? Let's focus on that. So you have seen some of those wins, but, you know, I think some of the bigger issues are still outstanding.
Yeah, and that's the challenge, right? The bigger issues are still outstanding. And that almost speaks to a sentiment that you shared in your article earlier on today, Jason, is the fact that because there's so much that will be discussed, there is so much that will be debated, we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Maybe talk us through this and what that looks like in terms of volatility and discomfort and uncertainty, especially on the market front.
So I think the market has kind of reflected a lot of that uncertainty. You would have seen, I think it was April, March, probably the same time around Liberation Day and Trump's tariffs that, you know, the market was pricing in the GNU breaking up. And I think investors were just expecting quite a fragile GNU. And since then, it's actually been, you know, the market's recovered very nicely. And I think investors are a little bit more comfortable, or perhaps they've become just used to a little bit of this public bickering, but still the work gets done in the background. And so, you know, I think it's become a little bit better in terms of being investor friendly. Yeah, you know, I think when the GNU started, there was a lot of optimism and a lot of enthusiasm around what it would accomplish. And with all some of these standoffs that you have seen, and you can, it's the reality is that these parties obviously want to identify, you know, their wins versus, you know, what the others are doing, particularly going into the next couple of years when they've got a campaign. But I would say if you just look at risk assets in South Africa, and obviously there's been a lot of global drivers, but I would say that markets are fairly comfortable that there is some better stability, you know, even given some of the kind of tumultuous news that you've seen around the GNU. And I think that's very positive that all these ructions, you know, you can still see momentum, you can still see, you know, no one's leaving the GNU, no one's been kicked out. And so I think that's good for our economy and that's good for investors in the South African market.
100%. So what does this mean then for us as investors, right? Because as we look at where things stand now, whether we invested in pension funds, retirement annuities, in our own, you know, respective and modest but still very ambitious portfolios, there's a lot that we're contending with. It's Trump, it's the tariffs, it's the remainder of 2026. We're not even sure if we'll have a mini budget come October. We're worried about economic growth. There's conflict regarding the interest rate targeting. Oh, Jason, the list goes on. And as you can tell, it's exasperating. Talk to us about what we need to look forward to and how we need to position ourselves, I guess, as investors, mentally, emotionally, but also in terms of our portfolios.
Look, I mean, I would agree with Yusuf, the previous interview you had, that, you know, there's a lot of noise and volatility at this point, and, you know, have an investment plan, stick to it and ride out the noise. I would say if you have some investment savings, whether it's a pension fund, provident fund, etc. There definitely are tailwinds to South Africa, like for the rest of the year. There is a little bit of a standoff between, I would say, SARB and National Treasury around a low inflation target. But I think the long-term outcome of that is positive for bonds, for positive generally for cost of capital. So I think there are decent tailwinds, both from a monetary policy perspective, from a fiscal policy perspective. I think there's some tailwinds or windfalls in terms of what commodity prices are doing, our terms of trade. So lots of little bits of positive news for investors in South African assets. The rand has been very strong. That obviously has a feed-through effect into the fiscus, into bond yields, into all sorts of risk assets. So, I think there is reason for a lot of optimism around, whether you invested in equities, whether you invested in bonds or some sort of diversified balanced portfolio. And, obviously have a plan, speak to an advisor, stick to that plan. We are fairly, I guess, positive for the rest of the year. Obviously, there are risks around what happens in 2026, what happens in 2027 ANC national elections.
So,
and Trump's tariffs obviously has a big impact on this. But I would say, there is upside and, just stick to your investment plan.
I was about to say, geez, Jason, I can imagine yourself and your team must have so many days and nights of robust debate around how to position portfolios, remaining competitive and resilient in the industry. And of course, Meryl, we often speak to her on here on the show as well. I can just imagine, the caliber and kind of the quality of debate that you all have as peers to protect investors' wealth, but also make sure that as an institution, you work within integrity and clear governance controls while still being competitive. And I think this needs to be underscored, Jason, because we sit here and we, just hope our money grows by entrusting professionals like yourself to take care of our pension funds under the umbrella funds that might have access to your portfolios. And sometimes we get disappointed by not seeing the robust gains and returns, but we also need to understand that there's a lot of care and caution and control and educated opinion that is taken when it comes to the investments you make. Maybe talk us through the thought process, the engagements to essentially protect our wealth as investors, Jason. So that we, take you a lot, don't take you for granted together with your team. You guys are really putting your shoulder to the wheel here.
Thanks. I would say, I guess the principle, we have is that we are protecting people's wealth. And so we need to think about scenarios where, you can have a strong view and you can do all the analysis around it, but we could also, be wrong about that because there's a lot of irrationality in the market. So we need to build portfolios that withstand different market environments. So that's what we're trying to do at the end of the day. We want to preserve people's capital, but we also want to grow it. And if you can think about a diverse portfolio where, you can grow real returns across different economic environments, whether it's a slowdown, whether it's kind of late cycle, mid cycle, you have enough asset classes and exposures to different risks that'll mitigate anything unexpected, then I think we're doing a good job. And that obviously deals with a lot of uncertainty because, being able to predict, particularly in a year like 2025, where you don't really know what's going to happen in terms of tariffs, geopolitical risks, domestic politics. It all can feel a little random, but at the end of the day, there needs to be a lot of thought into thinking about a portfolio that can withstand anything unexpected and making sure that at the end of the day, investors are able to meet their investment objectives and offer them real returns over a long time period.
100%. Oh, Jason, only because I find so much interest and intrigue in how you all do your work and maintain the investment philosophies that you have in a very volatile world. But then again, that's what the world of investments is made up of. I often joke, Jason, before I let you go and tell my friends, my economic friends or economists, I often tease them in the last few years and say, do you sleep well? But I guess that question has now changed from economists to portfolio managers, that with the market volatility, do you sleep well, Jason?
I mean,
it's lighthearted.
Predicting, economic outcomes are very difficult. I'm definitely not an economist. I'm more of an armchair economist. I think anyone can. And it affects your daily life. So it affects, you know, what you pay in your bond, what you pay for groceries, your pension fund. And yeah, it's, we try and allow our clients to sleep better. Often there are lots of things that we can't control for. Hopefully, you know, if we do our job right, then, you know, people can sleep well and they can retire well. So that's our aim.
100%. Sleep well, then retire well. Jason, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Appreciate the insights
you've shared with us.
And we find lighthearted moments even through the difficulty. But appreciate the detail you've shared with us tonight. That is Jason Swartz, Portfolio Manager at Old Mutual Investment Group. And as you've heard, there's a lot to consider when it comes to the markets. But here's a key takeaway. Politics and economics, you cannot separate the two. Fundamentally, there's always some kind of influence and symbiotic relationship. Might not always be beneficial, but ultimately it does offer levels of clarity and at times even causes further confusion in the market. Despite that, we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. The headlines, the shockwaves, the delayed announcements, the uncertainty, the volatility will remain. But if you just keep to your knitting as an investor, understanding the long-term growth objectives that you'd like to attain, working with the necessary professionals, have your own financial advisor in order to make sure that you navigate these particular journeys and just keep to the financial discipline, it all works out in the end.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.